How many days are we closer to seeing our Lord? Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing to try to comprehend in our worldly minds that, yes, we are one day closer to being with our Creator. We're being with the one who loves us wholeheartedly. He loved us from the very beginning. From the very beginning, even before we were walking this planet, He loved us that much. He knew you were coming. You weren't a surprise. I said, oh, no. He knew you were coming. And He prepared everything that we need to enjoy what He has provided. And so we are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. Do we know enough? I know a lot of you have probably seen this and probably gone through your head, but know enough of what? Do we know enough? But what would you like to know more of? I'm sure everyone has something within themselves that they would love to learn more of. Is it your work, per se? I heard somebody said no. Okay, but that's off into a good direction. But when you are working, some people do want to know more so that they know all the rules, right? They know the requirements that is expected of you. They want to know that so that you won't get in trouble, at least. Right? So you want to know what to do so you don't get in trouble. That may be your motivation to do that. Or is it to know the rules so that you could demonstrate that you are a knowledgeable employee? You know, in the military, it was different. You should know all the rules, all the regulations, because people's lives depended on it more often than not. Depending on your job, but people's lives depended on it, that you know how to soldier on. Would you like to know more of your hobbies? To know more of your mom's recipes? Usually what drives an individual to know more is their passion for a certain knowledge of knowing more, whatever that's in their hearts that would drive them, right? Normally you want to know more because it's something within you, within your heart, or maybe within your mind that wants to drive you. Or you do have a genuine passion for it. You want to know more because you love doing it. Whatever the heart drives them to. Or sometimes it's wanting to know more out of necessity. Sometimes it's not really what you're passionate about, but it's because of a necessity. An example. When I was going to business school a long time ago, they're talking about trains back in the day, long ago. Not the modern trains today, but trains were being made and they were all custom made. Could you imagine? Because there were no factories back then to pump them out in a way, like we can't do today. There was no method. They were all custom made. And so the train lines that were buying these things would have an individual be there while they assemble this so they can know how it's put together. Because back in those days, they really didn't have what we call today, a maintenance manual. They had some notes or stuff like that, and maybe some drawings, but no one really knew the inner workings of it until that person from the railway went there. And so as time went on, they bought a lot of different trains, a lot of different requirements, and then someone finally realized, wait a minute, I'm going to call this guy Joe. Joe is getting up in years. Joe may have a heart attack on the job, and all that knowledge that he has is in his head. So the concept of manuals from what I understand, came from that idea. Someone follow him now. Everywhere he goes, everything he does, write it down so that the someone who comes behind him, now they know. They know. Good thing for the railroad company, right? So they know. How about us? What do we want to know that truly matters? Again, you've already processed that through your head already. John 14:26, where it states, he has the Holy Spirit to help the apostles to remember and for us so that we can know more. Everything that the apostles had to, quote unquote, remember, which is John 14:26. And I'll read. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? So it's kind of like the idea of the engineer with all that knowledge. Jesus, of course, is now sharing all the knowledge that happened in the event of the of his life. And he has the Holy Spirit to help them do the recall. How wonderful it would be if we all had that same Holy Spirit. We do. And the ability to recall everything that is written in this book for our learning so that we can know more. It states, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We thank the Lord for who he is and the opportunity for us to grow in the knowledge of who he is. Because he still is. It isn't a thing about what he was, it's who he is. To know that he is our Lord and our Savior. And again, as it states here, and as we all should emulate, to him be glory both now and forever. Of course, the question is, do we know enough about our Savior? In order to know that you have eternal life, you must get to know the giver of that eternal life. Do you have a genuine passion, or do you just have a mild curiosity about that, about who he is? I dare say, long ago, when it was, I guess, a thing when we were growing up, this thing called dating. When you met someone, you wanted to get to know them better. You wanted to find out their favorite foods. You wanted to find out their hobbies. You wanted to find out their likes, their dislikes. You wanted to find out everything, didn't you? Some ladies, even to this day, still want to find out the first thing, usually, how much is in your bank account? Just saying. But the point is, yes, that when people are dating, they want to know that particular person because they have a genuine interest. Our Savior should be our genuine interest, that we want to get to know who he is, for what he is, for who he is right now. He's our Savior. Okay. Paul then stood in the meeting of Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walk around and look carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands, as if he needed anything. Because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set forth for them and the exact places where they should live. Consider that. That statement is still true today. We are here physically because of what he wanted. We are here physically because of where he wanted us to be. Think about that. It's not by accident. You know, some of us, I don't know how many of us, but some of us, I'm sure, were not born in this state. I wasn't. I'm sure there's others. Because of circumstances, God, now that we're looking back, God had put Kathy and I here for a reason, for his reason. And hopefully all of us can come to that understanding. Whether, again, hopefully you come to that understanding. But continuing on this discourse that he's talking to the Areopagus. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own people have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. What a wonderful thought. We are his offspring. We are his children. But just like children, we should learn to be respectful, obedient, loving, kind, and all the things that would make a father appreciate us. The Apostle Paul took the opportunity to tell these Athenians about God so that they can know God better. And that's just an introduction to knowing God. How much closer can we get to knowing God? Well, that's up to every individual here. Every person has that opportunity. Hopefully you see it that way. Every person has that blessing to get to know God better. Well, I don't know if you can see it, but in verse 30, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Is anyone excluded? No. Are his children excluded? No. How do we know that? Because it's written. And that's why we know what we know. And hopefully there's other things, there is a lot of other things within Scripture that are mind-blowing, that are life-altering, that are life-encouraging, that is just good for you. It is to benefit you so that we would know. Concerning ignorance of spiritual law, God no longer overlooks. He will not overlook that anymore. We probably, hopefully have this one pretty well memorized. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen my Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Do you remember Thomas, the other apostle? What some people dubbed Doubting Thomas. Do we act like him from time to time? Is it too often? Do you need to see evidence? Are you that kind of person? Do you need to see evidence somehow to make the Lord's word more truthful to you? Do you need to see the physical evidence? When it's written that the ark was made and it floated and it did God's purpose and is still here on planet Earth, do you believe that? There's evidence of the ark on the mountain. There have been pieces of it brought back. For those of us who need to see the evidence, it's right there. It is right there. You could touch it. But it doesn't discount or make the word any less greater because you saw the evidence. That word is great from the very beginning. Well, if you're the kind of person that needs to see evidence, may I suggest just look around you. Just look around you. Open your eyes. Open your hearts. Open your reasoning. Scripture states that all we see is from his spoken word. Everything that you see. Now, the brother mentioned before, the air that we breathe. You didn't make it. We didn't make it. We didn't create it. God did. The water that we need to survive. Thank God he did that. He knew that. Gravity. I am so grateful for gravity. I don't know about you. I got a garage with tools, all kinds of stuff in there. Thank God for gravity. I'm sure you ladies appreciate that too. With bags of flour and sugar, you go back in there the next morning and say, okay, where is it? No, it's right where you left it. But again, it's those things that we kind of take for granted, I submit to all of us. That though, light, how wonderful it is. Because God did it. If we would read his word, we would know that. And in knowing that, you would know him. But knowing someone is an active desire. You know, I'm sure we all have had it in our lives. We have experiences with other people, and we want to call them drive-by friends. You see what I mean, that we have the drive-by friends. Just come, go, but they don't want to know you. They don't take the time to know you. You know, that's unfortunate. Because, again, trying to know someone, it's an act of desire. How much do you want to know about someone? Is it enough to make a commitment to them? A long-term friendship in that regard? Or is it to make a long-term marriage? How well do you want to know them? John 14, 11 through 14. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Evidence, right there. Believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Some people want evidence. Evidence of the miracles, you may question. Do you need to see the backside of the moon to actually believe that there is a backside to the moon? There's some people that just can't bridge that gap, that understanding. That if there's a front side, there's a backside. If there's a truth, there's a God. If there's a God, he is truth. Whatever the evidence is evident. It's all around. Then believe me. Believe the word. Not me. Believe the word. He says, everyone will give an account. Everyone. Yes, Jesus is our Savior. He makes it possible for us to do great things, wonderful things, but does not make you perfect. You are still accountable for your actions. Whether you think it, whether you do it, you are accountable. He knows. There's nothing hidden from him. We and everyone else on earth has seen the front side of the moon, and the astronauts saw what was already there from its creation. True, they saw it from a different perspective than we on earth, and maybe they may draw even closer to God because of it, because they went around the backside of the moon. They physically did that. How about you? What do you need to see to know that Christ exists? What do you need to see to know Christ better? As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So when you do the spiritual calculations, it all adds up to one. The only one who should get our first fruits. After all, he provided them. He's the only one you should have who should have your adoration and praise. He's the only one we should pray to. He's the only one we should build our lives around. He's the only one. That adds up quite nicely, doesn't it? He's the one we should strive to get to know better. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 38. Matthew 22, 37 through 38. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. It's a given that whenever you draw near to God, he is by default closer to you. Something to process. When the astronauts left the Earth and they were going to the moon, did they not get closer to the moon? Did the moon move? Does God move? We move to Him. Always has been. But when we do that, the joy is that He is closer to us. That's where we want to be, is with Him, where He's at. When you are praying, you are drawing closer to Him, because He is closer to you. Take comfort in that. No matter where you may be, when you are truly praying unto God, He is closer to you. Christ did that. He paid the price for that. But be reminded, brothers and sisters, God cannot be near sin of any kind. Period. He is divinity. He is God. God sees His Son's blood over us, cleansing us. He knows our sins, and yet He sees His Son's sacrificial blood for us, providing an opportunity for us to get closer to God so that we may get to know God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest angels, and you water above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. Isn't there a song? It's a wonderful song because of the verses in Scripture that tells of His truth, of what He's done for all of us to see. He's provided more than ample enough evidence that He is God, a God worthy of praise, God worthy of worship, God worthy of giving our due diligence unto Him, because He has been so good to us. Continuing on, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Well, that covers about everybody and everything that should praise Jehovah. And when we know Him as close as we could ever be, there will be praise and adoration and worship due Him, because we will know how good He has been to us, how good He is to us, and especially how good He will be to us, loving us with His mercies and compassion. By the way, everything mentioned in the psalm was created by God. Let there be reminded. Everything. Everything. Wouldn't you like to get to know the one who created everything? Created you. Draw close to Him and He will draw close to you. It's the best thing going. And the best thing going is knowing God, the Father and His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So hopefully we may turn our desire to know Him into a genuine desire, where it's something that moves us, motivates us each and every day to try to get closer to Him some way. whether it's reading his word, praying, studying, whatever it takes to get to know him better, it'll only benefit you. And therefore, give you purpose and joy in your life. The opportunity will be presented, as we have song here shortly, for anyone who needs prayers of the church to help them with whatever needs that they may have, and also for an opportunity for those who have not put on the Lord as their Savior, a time to be baptized. If you hear the word, believe the word, repent of your sins, be baptized, and then live your life accordingly to please him. We offer that opportunity now as we all stand together and sing the song of invitation.